This week on the Droids, Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett. It was an episode of Star Wars, and it was awesome, and it was fun. We can't wait to talk about it. All that and more on the Droids.
Gong gong.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Mike, and wow, let's just go right into it. I mean, I don't know that we need any preamble. This is one of those times.
Preamble, yeah. Follow us on Twitter. No.
No.
Just listen right now.
There's a myriad of things that we can talk about with this episode, that we can talk about what's happening, that Boba Fett has had 1 minute of screen time in the last two episodes and no dialogue whatsoever, that this has become The Mandalorian Season 3. You know, I guess season three, part negative three, before they get to the actual episodes.
We went from going backwards to moving so far forward in story.
You're right, because you were saying literally the episode before. I remember because I went back and listened to the podcast, and you had said that we are moving backwards. We are not gaining anything.
Led up to the teaser at the end of Mandalorian season two.
It is. Yeah, it's crazy too, and you talked about this, Chris, last time, so we'll just, this is just the Revisit. Congrats Chris show, but
guys, thank you.
We got so little, like you said, negative information the first four episodes, and the last two episodes, so much has happened, in a good way. Again, it doesn't feel rushed, it's just, like, dense.
Part of me is like, is this Mandalorian season three? Do they have these episodes in the wing, and they're just they're on Twitter, they're like, just go with these.
Well, scrap the others.
I've said in our private, I think that they should have condensed the first four episodes.
Sure.
To maybe one episode, done like a four episode like special series and called it The Syndicate.
Because
they're clearly just kind of doing, I understand that like it's unfair, like is Star Wars doing this or was this doing whatever, but like they're doing what Marvel TV did with The Defenders. Essentially, where it's just this big team up.
Right.
And, like, that's what they should have just let us know it was. It's weird that it's branded as the Book of Boba Fett, unless something crazy happens in the last episode that, like, is so Boba-centric. Right.
So, well, that's the thing.
He gets a book.
I will talk about this later. I won't talk about it now. There's a theory out there about how they're going to bring it all home and bring it all together. And why Boba Fett is in this, and we'll talk about it as we kind of talk about what we saw in this episode.
Yikes.
But
we can't talk about it now?
We can talk about it now. I just think it kind of jumps ahead to
what a tease.
I'm just afraid that we're going to forget, and then like people. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to lose their minds.
I'm very, very tired, right, so now. I might forget it. The theory, and it's not my own. I should give credit to whose it is, but it's not my own.
All right.
Boba Fett is the one that saves Grogu from the Jedi Temple in Order 66.
Oh,
and so that's why it's significant. That's why Grogu is here. That's why we saw the vision of him and the clone troopers coming for them in the Jedi Temple in Order 66, and that will be the first tipping point of Boba Fett skipping to.
Oh,
well, it wouldn't be him skipping to good because Order 66. Would
have
been before,
or just his disdain for the Empire. Because he worked. They've made the point to say he works for the Empire. He's a cold-blooded killer.
Yeah.
Cad Bane said that.
Yeah.
Cad Bane. Cad Bane is
tiny
in
hat,
this.
Cad Bane.
His hat's not big enough, but it's cool. But that's... Okay, so you know what? If that's what they do, then I still think the first four episodes were extraneous, but...
Yes.
That'd be interesting.
That's an interesting arc for our friend Boba Fett.
I got chills hearing it.
Yeah, but what is it then, though? So he maybe as a bounty hunter, he was. But who would have told him to go get Grogu? Oh, the other part of the theory, sorry,
right,
is that the Emperor wanted to save Grogu for his experience, which we've seen in The Mandalorian. So sort of it makes sense. However, it's in that instance he would still be just doing as a cold blooded bounty hunter, following through on a task, taking Grogu, and then. But maybe he gives up Grogu and doesn't take him to the Emperor.
He'd look into those baby blues and then he'd be like, I can't do this. But then what happens?
But then he's like, I still know nothing else, so I'll still go work for the Empire and take up bounties.
I mean, there's a lot of work. But also, there. He's met Grogu.
Yeah.
Has he, though? Actually, that was the thing. The theory says he has not actually met Grogu.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, because if you think about it, they're all down on the planet.
Oh, yeah. Grogu gets stolen.
Yeah, gets
snatched. You don't think at one point, though, they were like, yeah, we got this little green guy, and they're describing him at some point.
He wasn't like green guy.
Yeah, it might work out. I get it. Yeah, like
no. I mean, I guess there's a lot of green guys in this.
Yeah, that's
world,
true.
But
well, let's also be honest. He probably doesn't want to give away that he's like, you know what? I actually have a heart of gold. I saved this little baby.
I'm not a cold-blooded
from the Jedi
killer.
Tempo.
Well, yeah. According to Cad, Mr.
That'd
Bane,
be interesting. I mean, it'd be interesting because Boba Fett at that point would Order 66. He'd be what about like 15?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting.
But then he works for the Empire anyhow, though.
Yeah. It's a little bit like I guess it could be one of those things where you hint at this is how he's breaking good, but he doesn't fully break good until
he probably still hates the Jedi though.
I'll say this, even if that's what they do, the first four episodes of this show suck.
Oh yeah, but it at least somehow tries to connect.
But it still makes the first four episodes completely extraneous. Yeah. I've nary had an experience like this with a television show where halfway through a season I'm like, well, I hated it and now I love it.
I can't. Like, I'm genuinely excited to see what they're going to do to wrap it up.
I woke up
whereas
early,
before I was like, hey. It,
2 weeks ago, I was dreading watching episodes.
Yes,
where I was just like, it's going to be 40 minutes. Oh, my God.
I'm falling asleep. Yeah. I woke up
at 6 a.m. to watch this yesterday. Because we're recording this on a Thursday. Because I was so excited to see, like, now where they're going with it.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
But it's
maybe
because
they
switched shows in the middle.
They pulled a little switcheroo on us. And not only did they... You were talking about how much nostalgia can they squeeze out of one of these things. Like, it opens with the ice cream maker chest, which we've seen before. But they're like, and was that Han Solo's speeder car thing from Solo?
No, they've kind of made that the model that they're using.
Okay, that's just like the hot rod. That's the T-whatever number it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, they... So then... I saw that. Happy to have Timothy Olyphant back.
Cobb Vanth, yep.
He essentially, I'm pretty sure that is just a monologue from Justified. Like that almost verbatim was he was just, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it too.
Why not bring something that works to the Star Wars universe? And you know it's a Western. Star Wars is the best when it's a Western.
I think it was perfect.
Went on record during season two that I didn't love his performance in that episode, but I really liked it in this.
It was
very good.
They
it
gave
was
him more. He was really having fun. Yeah. He had that great line where he's like, "That's how you get away with everything." That big old smile of yours.
Yeah,
but
I think without his armor now, he's relying on his wit.
a key thing, and I know we usually start with the positives, but it sounds like we had a lot of fun with this episode. But on a general level. It's no surprise yet again, Dave Filoni co-wrote and directed this episode, right? So like when it ended, I yet again went, of course. Well, of course he did. It gets to the heart of what I think makes Star Wars when it's at its best, kind of better than other franchises. And he's working on this level. And I think that Dave Filoni knows from a storytelling perspective that this is important. And it goes back to the episode The Jedi from season two of The Mandalorian. He doesn't depend on these huge, like, dangling carrots or huge reveals. He tells the story as he needs to. So when we see, when it reveals Grogu, it's not having a meta conversation with us about how excited we are to see Grogu. It just shows us that, like, this scene has Grogu in it. So, like, now we're showing him. When he reveals that Ahsoka's in it, it wasn't a huge tease that then ends with the episode of a silhouette like I guessed from last season. I remember when the episode The Jedi aired, you could go back and listen.
Yeah.
We were talking about how, like, when she shows up in the first 30 seconds, I just went like, oh, my God, there she is.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And the same thing with this. It people's character reveals were being dictated by what the story necessitated in that moment.
Exactly.
And we could be excited to see them as we are because yes. we haven't seen them in quote unquote a while, even though it's
right.
not quite true. But, you know, even, and I didn't think this episode was perfect. I had some stuff. I thought that Luke was used really well because he was just being used as a story point. He was being used as a story point in the entire thing. His character was well developed. I don't think that the performance they gave him was strange.
Well, there's a number of reasons why that is.
Of course. I understand that they're trying to mimic a performance that was actually given by a person in 1983. That's strange.
Which was also, the performance back then was also kind of strange.
Right, exactly. So that's what it is. But it was one of these things where it wasn't this huge, like,
yeah.
Oh my God, it's Luke. It's like, yeah, Luke's there because he's with Grogu, and that's who's in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, and that's exciting in its own way, but it wasn't so dependent on the conversation that it is having with the fans. It is just letting us see the story being told, and I really appreciated that.
I agree with you, Ryan, but I do want to say that there's a little bit of, they jammed so much into this, that it was so much moments of, and I feel like this was a pervasive reaction, was people were more excited that they could be like, oh, wow, Cobb Vanth. Oh, R2. Oh, Luke.
Yeah.
Oh, Grogu. Oh, Ahsoka.
Kind of threw
and,
all the toys
oh, Cad Bane. And,
yeah.
Like, it was so much. And I agree with you. It fit in, and it fit in better than most of what they've been doing in terms of fan service and nostalgia and what they've been trying to do. But I guess I wanted it to be, and I think it was, I'm more interested in being like, oh, that was a cool story.
Yeah.
Oh, way to go.
Well,
that was interesting. Better to me than just acknowledging, hey, there they are.
So I guess to me, the like huge, like the most important bit of this episode is on whatever that green planet is where Grogu and Din, Ahsoka, and Grogu and Luke are, you know, at the same time. And so to me, even though it is all crammed in and it's like, I could have done without like, him with Grogu in the backpack doing flips and stuff. It's like, I get it. I like it. You know, it's fine. It didn't like, it's just like if I was going to cut something, but whatever.
Right.
But to me, there was so much character stuff happening in that for everybody. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I was like, okay, like they're moving a story forward and like having these wonderful little moments, which we can get into more in depth, but there were so many things that struck me between characters in that I really thought was impressive.
Yeah, I think that, I think your point, Mike, where it's like they gave us a lot. I think at a certain point, we just need to rip off the Band-Aid between what the Clone Wars has established and Rebels has established and like what these series, because apparently we're going to have series to the end of days. So I think they might as well just start toning it the sacredness down a little bit and be like, listen, this is the same character you saw in Clone Wars. You see it now. They're gonna pop up. You're gonna see them.
That's the word I was looking for. It wasn't treating it safe like it was sacred.
I think that's just like what we in order to move all of this forward in a way. I think that probably a lot of fans want, especially if Filoni is doing a lot of that lifting now. I think like that's what just has to be done. It's like we just have to start seeing these characters because like. The tease of them, I think the formula of just a new character every single time starting these stories, I'm fine with it. It's great. And I think it just raises the bar of the storytelling that has to happen. And sometimes it's not always there. And so, like, why not just show us something that we know in a way that is clever and thoughtful? And it'll be like this episode made it that much more special because, like, we had some found knowledge.
Also, it needs to work. Like, for me, if I did know who Cad Bane was, but if I didn't know who Cad Bane was, if someone didn't, it's still a good moment.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, like, this strange, threatening person or,
guy
you
in
know,
the
being,
I
like,
will
approaching.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that the Pikes would have somebody trying to deter anyone from partnering with Boba.
Yeah.
Right.
And
even if his hat was too small, but that's something I'm bringing to it again.
I fear, so I think the thing is that that's definitely Indiana Jones's hat. That's we all know that. And so they had to keep it movie replica accurate. I will say the only part they did pull like a little tease on us at the beginning of that was certainly R2-D2. Which him, R2-D2 or C-3PO appearing in anything, any Star Wars franchise should not be an exciting moment anymore. I mean, it is, but they literally are in every single Like, they're in everything you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, if we're still surprised.
Yeah, I'm always like, because there is something magical about seeing that little antenna. So, like, I think that was used in a very nice way. At first, when this episode started, though, I was almost like, we're doing this. Like, as soon as I saw that little antenna, I was like, we're falling. I think last week we talked about, like, oh, I bet we'll see Luke at the end of the season. I'm like, oh, we're seeing him. I'm like,
And, like, I was like, thank God that, like, it wasn't a huge reveal.
Yeah.
It was like, Grogu's with Luke, and he went to see Grogu, and Luke's there. Like, that kind of thing.
If you need landscaping done in the Star Wars universe, you know what to get. Get
those
some of those.
Those are cool. I like those things.
Shout out to my brother-in-law, Dave, for that reference. He's like, I would get some of those droids. Do the backyard.
The little androids. They were cool. Yeah.
But I think what you're both talking about is that, like, the show is not winking or waiting for an applause break when it brings in the characters. Now,
anymore.
But certainly that could have been done, and people are, you know, certainly pulling the DiCaprio pointing at the screen when Cad Bane's there. But I think that this, as you said, is worked in a way where, this is, you can go find Luke. Luke's there. They're not having him do a slow entry where he reveals his face again. It's just part of the scene. Yeah. And look, there's a whole other conversation to be had about Luke here, but they made Luke Skywalker a character in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's insane to me for so many levels. And look, let's just, there's a couple things I want to dig into on this real quickly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like, first of all, I would say, you know, very challenging for them to, well, I think the first thing you have to say is way better technology, way better usage of the face and deep fakes.
They hired the Tom Cruise guy.
They hired that guy. They hired a deep fake YouTuber.
Oh, they did?
And it was, they did. And
that's a joke. Wow.
It's a different, it's not the Tom Cruise guy. They hired someone else a while ago. And it is significantly better. You still can see the seams a bit.
Yeah.
But there were times where I was like, that's incredible. Like,
I thought it was just a person.
The first scene when you see him and he's out in the sunlight, it looks almost perfect.
Yeah.
Really, and for them to do it in bright light, that's not nothing.
I mean, they're showing off a little
bit. It's not like it was raining at nighttime.
Yeah, that's a tauntaun moving through a snowstorm. that's what that is. They're showing off.
But they did that. It was, you know, there were moments where I think you caught him from the side. You're like, okay, something doesn't feel quite right. But they made that work so well. The voice, on the other hand, was not a Mark Hamill recording and then somehow de-aged.
Okay.
It was used from Mark Hamill interviews and Mark Hamill voicing from the era.
That's why he kept talking about Batman.
The word remember stilted. Sounded weird to me because he uses it twice and it was clearly like the same reading.
See, I thought they were doing something. That's really interesting. They couldn't just find a mimic? They couldn't find someone?
They couldn't just have Mark Hamill and then de-age it?
I guess not, but I feel like there were other options, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if you've recorded enough audio, there are programs now that can pull out, you know, words and make it work.
They're like, that's kind of a marvel.
It's kind of a marvel, but also, like, didn't really work that well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the performance is, like,
well,
so if, like, his performance is pretty stilted in Return of the Jedi. I love that movie. Blah, 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 blah. But, like... But, like, it was, like, stilted in this. Yeah. Like, he spoke in riddles.
Yeah.
Do you want to remember? I can help you remember.
It was Luke Skywalker NPC, basically.
I think he was hanging on an island with some droids for a little too long by himself. I think maybe that was
Oh, no. They're coming for me. It's Mark Hamill.
Finally found
it. That was the Luke boys. They're after me.
But, I mean.
Well, look, I do want to talk about. Yes, your point was very sound, Ryan, that this is Luke Skywalker and not a story about Luke Skywalker, but in service of the greater plot of Grogu and in service of the story that we've been following about the Mandalorian for so long.
Right. Not the story of the show we're watching, but the show
it's almost the story of Star Wars. Like, we're starting to see some seams picked up. The Skywalker saga,
Oh, good.
But I'm honestly really fascinated to hear what you both think, given that this was Dave Filoni who wrote this, and, you know, we trust him, and he's done such great work. To see Luke continuing to abide, and we know he doesn't abide by when he gets to The Last Jedi, but that the idea of attachment, and that attachments are still an issue, and that he, despite realizing that his attachment to his father was what allowed him to make the decision to save his father and then in the end save the rebellion and save everyone from the Emperor, that this is where he's at, which was the concern at the end of season two as well. It was like, what's this character become? Who have they made him to be? Oh, he's just still the same person that we saw at Return of the Jedi, except he forgot what he learned at the end of Return of the Jedi. And I guess I find it very, you know, because so much pain from any of the Jedi has been about not allowing attachments.
Right.
And
right.
The fact that we're still there and that our hero, who seemed to have overcome all these things and elevated to himself beyond, and I'm not talking about Last Jedi, I'm talking about Return of the Jedi, beyond what were the structures of the Jedi religion to mm-hmm. find the right path for him that was then also the right path to the balance to, you know, defeat the Emperor. It was really just kind of like disheartening to sit there in the end of the episode and be like, oh, what did Luke learn from his entire journey in the original trilogy if this is what he's now posing to Grogu?
Right.
Well, okay, so...
Like I said, I'm fascinated to hear what you think. So
yeah,
I
believe me, I never thought I'd be the one offering a retort to that.
Here we go.
So I'm curious in a morbid way how the Luke fanboys are reacting to this. I would assume that they're reacting positively because he's wearing a shirt that they recognize.
But, and he's doing flips that they recognize.
Yeah, so like whatever. But
he spoke in riddles.
But the thing that I liked about this, and I didn't like everything about the Luke aspect of this, but the thing I did like is that at the end, when he's talking to Ahsoka, they hint at that he's still struggling with like doubt in himself, his abilities, in like what this all means. I think they should have gone further with it. But this whole thing where he's like, what am I supposed to do with him? Like, I worry that he doubts himself now as a quote unquote master to this Padawan.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so
yeah.
They're exploring yet again the idea that like this is a thing that Luke deals with forever. Like everyone who has like flaws and like in a story, a fatal flaw of sorts, which is he has this doubt. He has this fear that he will like make the mistakes, repeat the mistakes of his father. It's it's not an accident that Ahsoka says, just like your father to him. And he has a look, CGI fake rubber look.
He spoke in riddles.
So I was watching it and I was like, okay, so like this is posing generally the same thesis that The Last Jedi is posing.
Yeah.
And like, which is that he'll struggle with these things forever. And he is so afraid of the sins of his father and repeating them that he lives in fear of that. And I was glad that they explored that here.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if literally the aesthetic is going to be the thing that separates those two things for people who were so mad about that portrayal of him in The Last Jedi. I understand it's taking it further, right? It's taking it 30 years down the road or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, it's literally like the CGI, like they're taking voice lines from the Luke that you quote unquote think is the real one. And it's still portraying that he has doubts, that he does, that he's afraid of his past or his family's past.
The framing of, I mean, it kind of, for me, some of the new, like the fun stuff with Star Wars and when new stuff comes out is how it reframes the past. So like the prequels or the future, whatever, however you want to look at it, was like the prequels really like Obi-Wan. I think we say this on the pod all the time when Obi-Wan talks about the Clone Wars, he's kind of like, you have no idea like what I had to do. And then we see the prequels. We're like, oh my gosh, it was this epic battle, and I cut my best friend's legs off. But then, in this, when we see Luke, then we kind of realize that like the original trilogy was almost like it was just Luke overcoming that he has a gift, and he had to accept that, and he didn't accept that for the longest time. Like he didn't believe he was. And so by the end of Jedi, it's more like, all right, he has complete acceptance that like, okay, this is a way, this is my life now. So maybe that's kind of what he learned.
Yeah.
And the only reason I would think that now is because of this episode kind of recontextualized, like, okay, he didn't know everything, but he accepted his fate, basically, of he has this gift and now he has to use it. What is he going to do with it? There's no one else around, so he's got to figure this out.
Which would then make me think that the only way to logically explore this is Luke Skywalker, a Disney Plus series.
Meaning,
we're not going to get enough of this. We're, and I'm not saying that it needs to happen. I'm not saying I want that to happen. I'm just saying So the way you both are positing it is like, so there's so much more to explore about what that character is dealing with and where they are in the state of their journey and how they're continuing to battle his inner demons and how did his victory, you know, shape him now into who he is. We're not getting that because he isn't the focus of this. He's just the service to the rest of the story.
Right.
And when you take the most iconic hero in cinema and do that, it's just going to lead to a lot of other questions that probably will.
But, I mean,
maybe
Sebastian Stan. We already have the end of his story, though, too.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing. We have the rest of it.
Well, we do, but we also, I don't know. I don't think that, I don't think we have enough exploration to meet who his current mindset is in this time.
We don't
I guess, to me, I'm like, in a world where, like, I kind of, we've been given the trajectory, anything that's, like, interstitial like this, I'm like, yeah it's just kind of like, this is where he was at then.
Right.
The thing that this episode gave that I thought was really great, there were two things, and they're both around Ahsoka. So the scene she has with Luke, and Chris, when you were talking about like recontextualizing.
Yeah.
It's hard because Rosario Dawson is a pretty young person, and like they had a young Luke, and it's easy to forget that it's like they're not peers.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like she's much older than him. And so like when they're talking, I'm like, I'm seeing just kind of two Jedi or two Force users. I know that she doesn't necessarily categorize herself as a Jedi, but
she quit.
And they're just kind of talking, and I'm like, right. And it's easy to confuse them as peers. But then the thing that recontextualizes that I thought was really touching is that I'm like, he's talking to a person, one of two people he's known who like knew his father as he never knew him.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she is like a person who knew his father who probably never thought she'd meet him.
Right.
You know, or, and she's
And
because Ahsoka is I'm not saying this based on the fact that she's not surrounded by people. She is. Ahsoka is a lonely character because she carries so much that the people around her do not.
Sure.
She carries so much memory and experience and all that stuff. So I thought that that was a really great moment. The other great moment that Ahsoka had, and this is a very performance-based thing, was that wonderful scene with her and Din where he's looking at Luke and Grogu on the hill and he has that great line where he says, like, but he's right there.
Right.
And she's talking about it. He hands her the thing back, and her reaction is, like, 15 emotions at once.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, like, makes the decision. He says, like, make sure he has this. It's equal parts surprise, relief, and sadness because she knows how hard it is for him.
Yeah.
It was just, like, a really amazing moment for them to have together. And again, you know, it means a lot for Din, obviously. And then also for her, who is this character, who is this bottomless well of gifts, kind of,
right.
As she like moves through, as she's the kind of tragic, but like persevering figure moving through the Star Wars universe.
So, sorry, do you have thoughts?
No,
on that,
that was it. I'm just, my adoration for that character, like knows no bounds.
I love it. And I think it. And I don't know, and this could be a good thing or a bad thing. I question her placement in this episode and, like, in this timeline. Because if we follow her trajectory through Rebels, and I don't know, is this spoiler zone, Ryan? Or is this, you caught up on Rebels? Are you?
I'm caught up on her stuff in Rebels, yeah.
Okay, so there is an element that there is this, like, world where you can visit the past in different times. And
wait, that's very close to the end of Rebels.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So maybe I'm not, but that's fine. I've had, listen, the statute of limitations, I've had plenty of time.
Okay. So anyhow, but when she says, so when Jyn first sees her, she says like, this will be a great temple. Like she's almost speaking as if she knows what this is. And then it leads me to believe that maybe she's like placed herself there by some other means and is like just some kind of like traveling through to make sure certain things are correct. And
I
if that's the case, she should warn somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She'd be like, hey, wait a second. They're going to have this other kid there. But I think that could be a fun element and it could really help stitch her placement throughout like where obviously she doesn't, we don't see her for a long time, right? So I think like that could be a fun element. That's complete conjecture and just fan theorying based on.
You mean you don't have the inside word on this?
They told me not to tell anybody. I just wanted to say it on the pod. That was my thought.
There. It's interesting.
Yeah, okay. So it could be, and I didn't spoil too much, Ryan. Because
no,
really,
I know.
Yeah,
believe me,
they don't give you no, they don't give you too much in the thing. And it's one of those like mysteries that you see. So
Chris, that introduction in Rebels to me felt like it set up. I mean, we've talked about it, I think, multiple times when we were talking about The Mandalorian. We were talking about what could happen even in Rise of Skywalker, and after we'd seen it. It is so ripe with possibilities.
Right.
And that introduction. And if anything, as you said, boy, what an interesting Ahsoka series would be if she is jumping through time and observing parts of the Star Wars canon and somehow can go back and influence, or she can't influence, and the pain that she has to watch it happen without being able to influence.
Yeah.
It's really appealing. It's really exciting.
Star Wars is Doctor Who.
Well, I think what you said speaks, and I understand this isn't like the Ahsoka show, but you know, speak where you say that like it's like her placement in this episode, like you question her placement in this, right? And I think that's kind of what that's what makes her an amazing character in this world, which is that she obviously has self-doubt and like challenges and stuff. But it's like, like I said, she's been like burdened almost with being witness and like involved in all of this.
Yes.
You know, like it's, she has seen so many things in the Star Wars world. She's like such a key player.
Yes.
And and so many terrible things have happened to and around her.
Yes.
And like she is like undefeated by that.
Right.
It doesn't mean that she's not challenged. She's a very sad character. Like she carries sadness, especially in like Rebels and stuff, which I think is like an amazing thing about the performance in that as well. So it's not like it doesn't take its toll on her, but she is like not.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like
it's like she's the one that like, that wasn't defeated by all of this.
Exactly.
Turned, like,
and
you know,
she,
like,
and the, by like questioning her placement, I just mean like she's there intentionally. Like I feel like she's there with purpose. Like there's a reason she's hanging out with Luke. It's not just to like, I just kind of hang out here. Like, hey, they're all
but
together.
But it's like, she was a person that in a war where both sides lost, essentially.
Yeah.
She was on both sides, too. Like, it's like, in the Clone Wars, like, it's like, the clones were, like, victims of, you know, like, a brain implant. And the Jedi were extinguished. And she was with both of them and with neither.
Yeah.
So it's like she lost every part of a war.
Yeah.
So that's just like, you know. What a great character.
That's a
Can't wait for the series.
Yeah.
And then they go back to Tatooine again.
You're like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. And so Boba Fett nods, and we're reminded that this is a show he's in.
And he says, he's
but so I want to ask, like, don't we think we could have just been better off if Dave Filoni was the one doing all of this and Favreau wasn't involved? Like, like from the very beginning. Why did
they
need
Favreau? Maybe they have a good partnership. It's like, I don't think Robert Rodriguez really added much to the proceedings.
Yeah, I was thinking about this today. It's hard to give it a talk. He made Iron Man. I mean, there's something. He does have something. Like,
you got to give him credit. He did something. We're here. Yeah.
Yeah, and he can. I mean, he's executing on something very high level that maybe the skill is just not apparent. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if it would have been awful if this was purely Filoni's show and it flopped miserably because, like, no one liked it. You know what I mean? Like, it has to.
Thank God
something...
Jon Favreau was there to shepherd and mentor Dave Filoni
exactly.
on how to tell Star Wars stories on television.
So
it's too bad that they didn't have anyone else, you know, that he could have sat and watched like he did on the set of The Last Jedi and learned from Rian Johnson. Too bad. Too bad.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. JJ was busy.
Well, all right. I think we've covered a lot already. I want to talk about, you know, we mentioned what Cobb Vanth. I think we've talked about Cad Bane, but I actually want to mention two other things about Cad Bane.
Yeah.
The hat obviously is
too
off.
Small.
We know that. We know it's too small. the voice wasn't quite right either. Oh. And they have the same actor. It's the same actor.
Interesting.
I don't... Maybe they made a choice that they felt like it needed to be...
Well, he aged it's a not, little.
Yeah, but it's not... No, it's not about that. It's like the processing of the voice is different, and the processing is much more pronounced in Clone Wars. And maybe they felt like, hey, we don't need it to be that pronounced in a live-action series. But then my other thought is, I was really impressed with the prosthetics on the face of the teeth and the mouth and how that all looked.
Yeah.
It felt seamless to me.
Wait, it was hard to tell like where the CGI was, which is always good.
Can't do it every time. Don't know. Thought Luke was just an actor. Now that you're telling me, what is real? What was real on him? Was his teeth real?
I think his teeth were real.
I think the teeth were real. I think a lot of it was real, but then you're right. They probably like finished some things off.
Was fake.
Like the eyes?
I think they were probably CGI.
That's scary. I mean, that's just frightening.
But they,
the eyes
they did.
Were... It did work. The eyes were scary.
Wow.
But, you know, a week ago I was talking about Halloween Town and that the masks were looking like Halloween Town. And they they absolutely
flipped it. Now we know where the budget went.
Yeah, they flipped it and made it incredible.
Cobb Vanth is definitely still alive, right?
Yeah, he's definitely
alive. He got shot in the
shoulder. Yeah, he got shot
in
the
arm. It was clearly a shoulder, but... His lieutenant, not
well,
so much.
And guess who has a
his
guess
hot
a,
head lieutenant?
Yeah.
Guess who has a back to tank?
Oh, good boy, that's true.
Yeah.
That was a good point. You know who's not alive? Jennifer Beals. She didn't make it out of
this. She got blown
They're
up.
They're gone.
Which why did we? You know, I feel bad for the actress. Yeah. Like she didn't really get to do very much.
No.
She's kind of great too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ice cream makers, look out.
And then I guess
doesn't a droid hold it up? He's like, wait, they forgot. Wasn't it literally that's the moment?
It was a droid.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah.
What do we think of Grogu's training and his ability? I like there was a point where I was just kind of giddy watching
it
flip from Tarak to Rock. And it was so cute, but it also felt like, oh, this is such nice Star Wars. But then I was I had to like stop myself for a second and I'm like, are they just playing my nostalgia notes? And am I getting something new? And like as we watched, it was like, okay, there is more to the story here. But it's just
myself. Aside from the fact that he's a baby Yoda, like he is a new character. So it's like, that's not a nostalgia thing. I mean, him opening one eye to like look at the frog and then move it with his hand. Like I was giggling.
Yeah.
And
the other thing, I want to get back to Grogu, but before I forget, the other thing that had me laughing out loud was the Jawas with the big skull of that dragon strapped to the top of their...
It
was so funny.
They're doing a wonderful job throughout all of the Mandalorian and this Boba Fett with like the Jawas. Just like, they're always goofy characters. They just keep layering it on. It's
just
wonderful.
Like the fact that they couldn't fit it anywhere else, so they could literally just put it on top.
Taped
anyway,
it on the hood.
Back to Grogu anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, Grogu... Then, you know, it leads us to that decision moment at the end where he is presented with the chain mail, the chain armor.
Yeah.
And then he's presented with Yoda's lightsaber.
Sure.
Which, wow. I just, again, that somehow Luke has that. We've never seen that before in canon that he has it.
Those lightsabers, they just fall into the wherever you need
well,
them to go.
It made sense. I mean, like, Luke was in the Dagobah hut when he would get his stuff, but
some stew,
I swear I thought when at the beginning, I don't know if you guys had this moment, that first that cold open where Cobb Vanth is like, you know, like give me that spice, and he like kicks over the chest.
Box. Yep,
I was like, the lightsaber is gonna fall out of it.
That's exactly what I thought, Ryan.
Like, I
thought
was like,
it was
that,
gonna be...
oh, they're gonna do this story, like how they get the lightsaber back.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was that or Darth Maul's lightsaber.
Too big, it wouldn't fit.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I literally I said out loud to myself to no one. It was 6 a.m, but I said like the lightsaber is gonna fall out, and then it didn't.
Oh man, well, I mean, we didn't see what was on the bottom of that dust.
Well, that'd be weird if they showed a command and they like cut back to him pouring it out.
That's
the Grogu training
NT's
I thought
credit,
was really good. It was really cute, obviously. I mean, watching him jump in that little sack with his little diaper poopy butt.
Really flexing that it's a puppet that can jump too. Like, really...
there was some real like Muppet movie stuff where I was like, I know there's CGI involved, but there was some stuff where I was like, they're just showing off.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just the fun when you go back and you watch.
I loved how Luke had to like help him along, take a large stride.
Oh, yes. When he was making him lift
him
with the
funny,
force.
Very funny, odd, weird detail. And then just, like, more fun stuff when they were just, like, skipping over those rocks and it, they jump on the one creature and it like puts its head up. Like that's, I mean, that's just, that is Star Wars wonderfulness right there. That's like, there's a world that exists and there's creatures in it. And every now and then you're going to jump on one's head that you don't realize is a creature. Like I feel like that style joke in Star Wars has happened so many times and every time I fall for it.
We talked about it already, but what do you think of the clone troopers and seeing part of Order 66?
I mean, listen, you know I like seeing Order 66 from every angle, and we're almost getting there. I was thinking about it with this because, you know, Bad Batch had a big Order 66 moment. Jedi Fallen Order, watch those playthroughs on YouTube. Big Order 66 moment. And I thought to myself, are they going overboard with the Order 66 thing?
They like it.
Not that I had that inclination, but I was like, is this what how people are going to feel? To which I respond, no, they're not. Here's why.
Right.
It's the single most important event in the Star Wars canon. It is. It is the turning point of everything.
Yeah.
So, if everything turns on a fulcrum, that is Order 66, how could it not be featured heavily in a lot of places?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's just like
fair.
What it is.
Very
so,
fair.
I do stand by my prequel reaction. Some of these Jedis, they really can't handle it. They don't have the skill. Like, I don't understand. There's three of them. There's maybe
about... they were at the temple with the Padawans, Mike.
Oh, fine. Yeah. So what you're saying is that they teach because they can't do?
Oh,
is that what you're trying to say?
Wow.
Well, no. I'm saying that it's all the younglings.
I like that. Like,
no. Yeah. Those were clearly full-grown adult Jedi trying to take on seemed like 12 troopers. And
if I may respond.
Just gotta be honest.
There is...
If I may respond. It is established very clearly that the Jedi suffer from hubris and overconfidence in their own safety and control over the clones.
That's
so
fair.
Order 66 is less about their ability to fight than their lack of foresight in knowing that they're about to be betrayed.
Fair enough. But once, you know, the light flips on, hey, you know, they're shooting at me and I've got my lightsaber out. I think that they could, you know,
well, they don't
want to
kill
instinct.
Their buddies, though, too.
No, that's fair. I guess you could say that.
Also
in battle with them.
So, you know, if we learn from the High Republic, it's like by the time the fall of the Jedi happens with Order 66, the Jedi are supposed to kind of be only like kind of like mascots in a way.
Right.
So one could argue, and listen.
Wait, we learned that from the High Republic?
No, from the High Republic, in giving us the context that there was a point where the Jedi were at the height of their powers, which is the High Republic.
Yep.
And then by the fall of the Jedi and the fall of the Republic, that the Jedi kind of had become, you know, obviously they had been usurped and infiltrated by Palpatine. They kind of were overconfident in their abilities. It is very possible that the Jedi Order was becoming lax in a lot of these
in
things.
In their training.
Yeah, fair.
So,
I could skip.
We think of them as superheroes, but it's like it's very possible that it became like a thing where it was like, this isn't, you know, this wasn't the best era for like Jedi training, whatever. I understand that there's many.
I can see that.
There's a podcast that'd be very angry at me for saying this.
Well, I mean... But, only a couple of them survived, so you might not be too far off.
I couldn't do it.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying, I couldn't do it.
The scenery from that scene when they were showing the flashback reminded me of the game, the Republic Commando.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. It kind of had that look to it. With
did it kind of look like Grogu was in Santa's gift sack?
a little bit.
I thought that
for
a second.
Got there. Yeah, where were they also? We don't know, do we?
It just looked like, I guess I assumed the temple.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be the temple, I think.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see any giant fluorescent mushrooms, so I know they weren't there.
They weren't at the opera?
They weren't at the opera.
Wow.
I'm really excited to see how they wrap it up, now that it's a different show that I like a lot.
Yeah, that's where my head's at. I want to know what's in that box where he said it's worth more than your town.
Yeah.
So what does he have? We don't know yet. So, I mean, that could still be a reveal.
Wait, hold on.
They're not going back to the box.
You don't think so?
No.
Wait, the spice box?
Wait, the box was spice. It was spice.
Yeah, he opened it.
It was full of spice.
Oh, I was like a sand.
Yeah, Chalamet came out and sucked it all up afterwards.
Yeah. It's spice.
It was spice, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bummer. Okay.
I thought, stray observation I really liked where he said, tell them that Tatooine's closed for business. This place has seen enough violence.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
That is a good line.
And we'll see some more. We will. It has already happened, but we'll see some more violence in May. Is that when we get the Obi-Wan series? By the way, Andor, Obi-Wan, Mandalorian Season 3, we got a packed year, right? Like, we're probably going to see, like, really? 2 months between this and the next Star Wars show.
And
right?
Whatever surprise series they do in the post-credits of this one.
The Book of C-3PO.
Oh, you know what it is.
The book of Bib Fortuna?
Yeah, that, no. It's got to be the Cad Bane book.
Oh.
You just do a whole series. Because there's way too much ripe fruit for them to pluck.
Oh, yeah.
If they just focus on bad guys and do a bad guy series at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess what we've seen from Disney is they're never going to make anybody a bad guy. They have to be a good guy who's somehow held in a bad guy state. And
yeah, if I
still
find out that Cad Bane is like actually like really tortured, I'll be upset.
Book of C-3PO.
Nice moment for the probe droid to come back, or I guess the training droid comes back, which we get a little bit of.
How does that end up back
can't
on the Falcon?
Can't get enough of that thing.
Really,
I know
can't.
How.
I can't wait to buy my own at Galaxy's Edge when I go in 27
next
years.
Episode, Han's visiting, saying, hey, dropping my boy off. Here you go, Luke.
There's like
by the way, here, take this.
There's still a good chance he shows up.
There really is. And then
I mean, the bar has been raised now, so I'm thinking of Kira and Han Solo.
Well,
one or the other. We're going to get one or the other, or maybe both. I mean, in nice, ripe irony, it would be great if they were just ships passing in the night again.
How much more painful would it be, though, if they, you know, that Luke Skywalker series was Luke and Ben? It was Luke and Ben Solo. And it was Ben at, like, the age of 13. I mean, I don't know how you play a young Adam Driver, how you cast that.
Yeah.
I think that if Han's going to show up, because the next episode is the last episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Han's going to show up, like it's going to be like Fennec saying something to like Boba Fett where it's like, we're in trouble. And he's going to be like, I know somebody. And she's going to be like, you know somebody? Right. Like, or like, is this a friend? And he's going to say like, it's complicated.
Oh my gosh. Because you know who used to run Spice?
That's
Poe Dameron?
Poe Dameron could show up too.
And Oscar Isaac is back in the Disney family doing Moon.
Oh boy.
You know what?
Kerry Russell and Poe showing up.
I'd be stoked if Poe showed up.
Oh, man. Absolutely.
I would be. I would love it. You know what? We're talking about it. You're going to do anything. I'd love
Get Zori Bliss in there. She was
streaming. Yeah.
She was so so wasted.
Yeah.
Well, very wasted, yeah.
Yeah, get her in there.
Exactly.
You don't even need Kerry Russell. Like, I'd love to have Kerry. Like, she's great.
Get a couple of Spice Runners in there.
But you have the helmet.
And
the
Babu.
Y-wing. Babu Frick.
Oh, man. Hey, what about a little bit of Claude? And who's the guy that goes, okay.
Get him in there. Driving the Sam crawler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get them all.
That's so
all
funny. Oh, my God, Claude.
Oh, Rise of Skywalker was on TNT the other day. And I tried to watch a minute or two, and I was just like, I can't
got it in 3D. I'm excited to watch it.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
new experience. It's the only one I haven't seen yet. So.
Did we miss anything else? I guess thoughts on the volume this time around. I mean,
to me,
they continue to just get to the point where I'm not noticing. Yeah. And
I wasn't thinking about it, so I was doing something right. Yeah.
I mean, I was just happy to see green. Like, just a color that wasn't sand. I mean, imagine like the prop of the spice on the sand. Like, I thought it was a box of sand. I was
gotta
like,
get
oh.
some real good shimmer on
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
All right, predictions for the finale. I will not claim the prediction of the theory that I gave, but what is your prediction?
I think you should, Mike. I know.
My prediction is that Grogu shows up at the end of a key battle that. Din and Boba and Fennec are all in against, you know, the myriad of pikes and whoever else wants power on Tatooine. The battle plays out over the course of the 40 minutes. And in the last five, Grogu shows up to bring down a series of buildings on top of all the pikes just before they're about to kill our heroes.
Wow.
And then they fly off together with Grogu in the bubble. In the bubble of the ship.
Yeah,
by the way, I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think Grogu should choose? Because I think he should choose the chainmail and be a foundling.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And I'm not just using my future knowledge that if he stays with Luke, that's ill-advised.
You know what, though? You're right. That's another reason why it's a total slam dunk that he's going to do that, because they want to make sure he's not there.
They want to make sure that their other main character didn't kill a baby Yoda.
Also, it shouldn't be a default that like someone needs to be a Jedi if they can.
Yeah, I think that's a Luke problem, right?
Yeah,
that's his problem.
All right, so sorry, Chris, your prediction.
Oh, my prediction. All right, so I kind of just said it. I think we're gonna get some connection to the Soloverse. Make Solo 2 happen. Hashtag make Solo 2 happen. I think we're gonna see baseline. I'm gonna say Kira. Bonus Falcon, triple bonus, we're gonna get a Han Solo and maybe a Lando in there. I think we're gonna see that gang just because of the connection to the pikes. There you go, that's it. And then side hustle Poe Dameron. I think we're gonna get a cameo. My main point here is cameo.
I'm gonna build off that. I think big reveal is going to be Darth Maul.
Ooh, nice.
Does that line up?
Crimson Dawn?
No, it doesn't line up. Never mind, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, he's dead because he's killed on Rebels. Because
Obi-Wan kills him. Never mind. I take it back. Oh, man. Can I say what it was going to be?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was going to be
that if I didn't forget that Darth Maul was definitely dead because he dies all the time. It was going to be that he shows up with the pikes. And that Din fights him with the Darksaber.
Whoa.
And that would have been cool. But it's not what's going to happen. I think Luke and Grogu will show up for the fight at the end. Luke's coming back to Tatooine.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to see the scene that I said was going to happen in The Force Awakens. Luke at quote unquote full force power, which when I said it then was a less loaded idea than it is now.
Right.
seemed cool at the time. But I think they'll both show up. And then I think Luke is going to give Grogu back to Din.
Wow.
And so he made his choice. He's wearing his little chainmail.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Just cause we're spitfiring here. What if Grogu saves Luke?
And then he says, "You owe me your life now."
Luke, you're not the most powerful Jedi in the galaxy. I am. I'm the one who knocks. That's what he says. That's what he says. That's how he talks now, too. Wow.
Chris, did we get your prediction?
Yeah.
We got like five of them.
Yeah, I can't stop giving them. I'm just making all sorts of stuff up. Bib Fortuna shows up. I wasn't dead. I was in the basement the whole time.
You were throwing so many out. I thought there was a longer one that you had.
No, that's pretty much it. I think we're just going to see some of the old gang from Solo.
Yeah, that's right. The Solo side of things. Yeah. All right.
It's been a long Star Wars day, Mike. I understand.
Give me your craziest if they're setting up another series at the end of this episode, meaning a series we don't already know about, like we didn't know about the Book of Boba Fett. What's the series we're getting after the credits with a five-second scene or a minute-and-a-half scene? That's going to set up the next series.
Oh, wow.
To me, the craziest thing that they would do is if it's a Luke Skywalker series.
Yeah.
And it's all CGI Luke Skywalker using old interview clips.
It would be insane.
Yeah, like Jedi Academy or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's just like clips like from interviews that he did with Gene Shalit.
I don't even know, like... What is he even talking about in those interviews? When I did Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Oh, man. The series reveal. They're gonna connect the Star Wars Resistance world somehow.
Wow.
They'll bring it back.
The live action.
What was it? Kai,
Star Wars show.
Kai was the name of the main character. Was that what it was?
I think so. I can't remember.
Yeah. Cal Kestis shows up. That's my bet.
Oh, cool.
Oh.
You'd have to
from
be a
Jedi
little bit older.
Fallen Order. My playthrough.
Your playthrough.
That's great. That's great.
Because he's like, hey, you see my droid? It was wandering around over here. You got BD anywhere?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You'd have to be aged up a bit, or he's
just
done very
well. You guys have any BD
Jedi.
Energy over here? He's out of batteries. I need some BD energy.
Oh, boy. Well, all right. State of it, though. We're all having some fun again, which, again, we talked about last week. It's just nice to get back to.
I never could have predicted that this is what would happen in this show.
We thought we were all just kind of going to coast our way to a disappointing end.
I swear there's two episodes of Boba Fett that are, like, shelved. For life.
I think you have to be right. You have to be right.
Just have him nod. We're done with him.
Exactly. Hey, Luke's not done yet. I don't care. Press print. We're just using old clips of dialogue. Doesn't matter. Get him
out. Get it out there.
Get it out there.
We bit off more than we could chew.
That's so funny.
Well, that is going to do it. I'm very excited for whatever next week holds and what's going to bring us back to talk about this. And hopefully we're also going to get, you know, more realistically a tease of whatever the next series will be. You know, Andor has gone really quiet, I have to say. I feel like we saw that in production behind the scenes. Everyone's talking about Obi-Wan. No one is talking about the Andor series.
Yeah. Well, when they push it to next year.
It actually might make sense. I actually wouldn't mind if they did. You know, if we're talking about a May start for Obi-Wan and another six episodes, why not just kind of let that sit, give us a little bit of time, and we'll come back to it next year?
Sure.
I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do it. We will be back for the finale. Hopefully get our good boy Sam back with us again as well. And that's going to do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
What they throw. Any?
Anyone can find a nice big hat? I need a hat.
The droids you're looking for are cold-blooded killers.